1780 when the first gun was fired in this war. Hope, Sheffield, England, witness colors, Soaker first fired. Fellas, I know what that top row of service bars means. That's the last wall, but what's that one on the bottom? 15 years of undetected crime.
15? Undetected crime? You can't kid me. That's a good
conduct medal. Say, Sheffield is your home city. Don't they call that the steel city?
No, sir.
The oldest city.
The what?
The oldest city.
Holy city?
Yes, sir.
Why? Why holy city?
Two of our Scott merchants died, went to Havner. When they got there, the gates were too big to keep them in. Old Goldgate, the festival, the doorkeeper came along, asked to move the wash, start dealing to Sheffield. He said, I shan't be a minute. Went to wait to be admitted. When he come back, the gates were locked.
Quite the gate. Well, all right, we'll let it go as the oldest city. Where have you been in this war and what you been doing? What you can tell me of it?
Just a bit of convoying, very small, hanging around creek for the evacuation.
Yes?
And finish of it, that's all.
That's all?
Yes, sir.
You've been in action, you've been out there for years, two, three at least, and you say just hanging around with a bit of convoys and a bit of creek. Well, that creek was a rather tough job.
Yes, sir. I think we were the only big wagon to get back. With the paint on it.
You were on a big wagon at that
time.
Yes,
sir.
I see. With the paint on it. Well, now, you got any folks at home, fella?
Yes, sir. Two children.
Who are they? Boys, girls, or?
Boy and a girl.
How old's the boy?
14.
And the girl?
12, sir.
Well, she's in school. I guess the boy is, too.
No, the boy's working, sir.
Working?
On munitions.
You mean he's working in the munitions factory?
Yes, sir.
Sort of a chip off the old block. When there's anything doing, he's got to be there. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, how long since you've seen him?
3 years ago. The day of the war.
That long?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, look, sir, from wherever you go in port, and I know you must send them little souvenirs back, or you can get them back to them, can't you?
That's all I think about. You're just my kids.
Just the kids, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't blame you. You've got two like that, and you haven't seen them a long time. Have you had any leave inland where you could see some of our country?
No, sir.
You haven't?
No, sir.
Why not?
I send presents to my kiddies.
You mean you deliberately send the presents to the kids rather than take a leave?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the swell father I'm telling you, boys. Look, I'd like to ask you this, Sellers. You've been around, you've seen a lot of action in spite of the way you passed it off. What would you say is the bravest bit of action you've seen?
The women and kiddies at home.
The women and children back in
England.
Why do you say that?
Because one day, they say, an old lady come out of the shelter after spending the night there. She looked at all the ruins. She turned to her friend. She says, "Ain't it all? But never mind. It takes you off the wall.
Takes your mind off the
wall. Takes your mind off the wall."
Well, Sellers, that's the spirit. That's the search, and the folks at home really are doing a grand job. We've enjoyed having you up here, and Bromo Seltzer has a few little things that we want you to take away with you to remember this by. First of all, here's a sailor's waterproof wristwatch, the kind that won't get wet if you get in the shower. You like it?
Yes, sir.
And for that 12-year-old daughter of yours, here's a really beautiful Easter coat that you can send her back. Okay?
Thank you.
And one other little thing. This is just between Warren and myself and you. We're going to arrange with the partners for you to take a long weekend, if possible, somewhere inland, in a way that you can't send it home. We want you to see the country. Thank you very much. Okay. And by the way, we want all of you men to know that we're sending you a recording of this program so that you can play it aboard ship as often as you want to. And we're having an individual recording made of each man's part in the show. And that will be sent home to his folks along with a recent picture of him that we are having made also. Okay, Warren.
Wait a minute, Clark. I wanted to talk to you a minute.
Yes, sir.
I understand that you have a favorite expression, something about...
I've got several of them. For instance, we can't all be admirals. Some of us have got to be sailors. How's that, all right?
And a very wise observation it is, too. And, folks, there's equally sound advice in the favorite expression of our famous talking Vox Pop train. Listen. Yes, friends, fight common sick headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. Then you get effective relief. Quickly feel more like your old self again. Or, to put it another way, what's the good of merely relieving the pain in your head if your stomach still feels upset, your nerves are still on edge? It just stands to reason. Three-way misery like that needs three-way action. And Bromo Seltzer acts these three ways.
Quickly relieves headache pain, quickly helps settle upset stomach, quickly helps calm jumpy nerves.
So, friends, don't settle for anything that does less for you than Bromo Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. For quick, effective relief from common sick headaches, take a tip from our Vox Pop train. Well, folks, we're back here at this unnamed port with the sailors from the Royal Navy. You know, folks, the ratings in the Royal Navy have different names than in ours, as you'll find out. Here's a man, 32, fine-looking fellow with a friendly smile, a ruddy face. He's been in the Royal Navy for 3.5 years. He's an engine room artificer. I hope I got that right. John Victor Doan of Birmingham, England. What do they call you, John or Vic or what?
Vic.
Vic. All right. Vic, let's clear up one thing right away. What is an engine room artificer?
Well, an engine room artificer takes charge of an engine room and is in charge of general maintenance of machinery.
Oh, I see. Well, by the same token, would you call a cook a galley artificer?
I certainly wouldn't. I'd probably call him an food spoiler.
Oh. The poor cooks always get in the neck, don't they? Well, do they call you artificer all the time?
Well, I shouldn't think it would be advisable. They usually call us Tiffy.
Tiffy, well, that's a little easier. Vic, you know, the Royal Navy has taken a terrific beating during the 3.5 years or more that's been in the war, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has, but it's given back more than it's taken.
Oh, you said it.
Well, how...
Vic, how does it stand now?
Well, I think the only figures I can give are over 400 we've lost, but they've lost a darn sight more.
I see. And you're stronger now than you were at the beginning of the war?
We certainly are.
In spite of all the bombing?
In spite
over
of
there?
All the bombing.
Well, that's a marvelous job you've done. By the way, I'm wondering if you fellows are keeping an eye on that concentration of German ships near Trondheim.
We're keeping an eye on them, all right, and if they come out, they'll catch a cold.
I like that expression, they'll catch a cold. What were you doing before going into the Royal Navy?
Well, I was in the Army.
You were in the Army?
Yes.
Well, as long as you've been in both, perhaps you could tell us confidentially which you like better, the Army or the Navy.
Well, with a company here present, I think I'd better say Navy.
Well, where were you in the Army?
In the Indian Army.
In India? How long were you there?
9 years.
Well, you know something about the country then, don't you?
Just a little bit.
Well, what do you like best? Did you ever learn to ride a camel?
No, thank you.
Well, what did you like best about India?
Well, it's cheap. It doesn't cost you anything for tax and insurance on cars.
No tax and insurance on cars?
Thank
well,
you.
That's something that we don't have to worry about here now much. A good many of us. Say, we know you have a family in England, a wife and a little girl. Are they home in Birmingham?
No, I've got them right outside the city.
Oh, to get away from the bombing?
Yes, most certainly have.
Well, I suppose they hated to leave their home.
Well, they did. As a matter of fact, I had about the only argument I've ever had with my wife about that, getting out of the town. Mm-hmm. She eventually did get out, and a few days afterwards, the house was bombed. So I don't think she'll argue again.
That's an awful price to pay to keep a woman from arguing, isn't it? Well, we want to thank you very much, Vic, for coming up and talking to us tonight. And Vox Pop and Bromo Seltzer have two gifts for you. A genuine walrus leather suitcase with zipper compartments. And that is, look at that. Just take a look at that. That's a beauty. And a Ronson lighter with service kit to keep it in use a long, long time. And for your young daughter, Anne, something to delight the heart of any little girl. A three-piece red all-wool suit with jacket and skirt, and the coat is trimmed with blue and green. You think she'll like that? Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much, John Victor Doan. All right, Mark.
Okay, Warren. folks, this British sailor is about 23, I'd guess. Looks like about 5 feet, 7 or 8. He's dark, he's single, and he's an L.S. That is, he signed on as a boy, and then when he got 18, he's got 12 more years to go. Isn't that right?
Yes,
folks,
it is.
From Maidenhead, England, John Webb, CR2. Hi, John. John, what does that CR2 mean?
Well, that's control rating, second star.
Oh, you control, fire control.
Yeah.
I mean, the shooting, not the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. And, you married?
No. Nope.
You're not married, huh? How long since you've been home?
Well, close to 3 years, huh?
All of you have been away, looks like a long, long time.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy, I bet you'd be glad when you do get back. You've seen a lot of action. Will you tell me where you've been?
Well, I've been Norway,
mm-hmm.
Crete, Malta, the Brook, and the Mediterranean in general.
Well, what would you say is the toughest action that you've seen?
Oh, Crete.
Crete, huh?
Uh-huh.
Were you on a ship that...
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I was on a cruiser.
Anything happened to it?
Yeah, it got sunk there.
Oh, it got sunk?
Yeah.
So you just had to leave it and go on?
No, sir.
You didn't?
No, sir.
Well, what?
She only got sunk to the level of the deck, you see.
Uh-huh.
We stopped there and manned the guns, kept an eye barrage up, all the time we could.
You mean you, with a ship sunk, your gun still above water, you fellas stayed there for a very long?
Yes, sir.
Did you shoot down anything?
We certainly did.
With a sunk ship, and
yes,
you shot
sir.
Them down, and boy, that's going some, I'll tell you. Then what happened?
Well,
where'd you go next? What
I
on?
Left her and went aboard the destroyer.
Uh-huh.
And I took her to Tobruk Ferry.
The Tobruk Ferry?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's... The boys seem to know what that is. That, as I understand it, that you were bringing supplies and things into Tobruk when it was under that heavy siege.
Sir.
I see. And did that ship weather the storm all right?
No, she caught a packet through her life.
It did?
Yeah.
That was sunk, too?
Yes, sir.
I guess after that, this put you ashore a little bit and let you have a little rest, didn't it?
They did, yes.
Where'd you go?
I went back to Alexandria.
Well, now, when you were back at Alexandria, you must have seen a lot of prisoners around there.
We did, yeah. We
did?
Seen quite a number.
Uh-huh.
And I bring some more memory of a quaint story I heard there.
A story? Let's
yes,
have
sir.
It, boy.
Well, there's a British general there who wasn't really satisfied with his regiment on the way they were bringing in prisoners and so forth.
Uh-huh.
So he gave them a lecture, and he promised them he'd give them 10 cents.
Uh-huh.
For every 100 prisoners he brought in.
10 cents, 100.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, sir. Two Cockney privates just walked out around the corner, and they came back herding about 2,000 or 3,000 prisoners. And he said to them, gee whiz, you've done a job. And they gave him the money,
uh-huh.
Turned the money over to him. He said, now you explain where they all came from. He said, sure. He said, we bought them for 5 cents off the Aussie.
Well, I think with that story, we can't top it. So I think we better stop right there. 5 cents for the gang. Well, we appreciate you having been here, John, and luck to you wherever you go. And Bromo Seltzer has a couple of things for you. First, it's a waterproof serviceman's wristwatch that we know you'd like to have because he snoops around. Then we've got a snappy Ronson cigarette lighter, too, as a service kit to keep it going. And because your mate told us about that sister of yours back home, here's something we want you to take her. It's a beautiful black cape, a crepe gown. You use it very late at night. And wait a minute. Hold it, boys. That's not all. And it's something that looks like the lace thing slips, and I better not go any farther. There's some more unmentionable there. Okay, John, take them along. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Warren.
Quite a bit of finery there. Folks, we want you to know a young fellow, 36 years of age, who's an old-timer in the Royal Navy with 18 years of service. He's seen plenty of action during the 3.5 years England has been in the war. In the Mediterranean, he's had a good many hot spots. He's chief mechanician, that's the same as chief machinist mate in our Navy, I think, Andrew Smith of Motherwell, Scotland. Andy, Smith is a pretty unusual name for a Scotchman, isn't it?
Most unusual, Warren. Most unusual.
But do you know anything about the origin of the name Smith?
Well, way back at the beginning of time, the only people who lived in the world were Smiths.
And as they married and the families grew, those of the family who sinned were cast aside and were given another name. So consequently, the only good people in the world are the Smiths.
I see. How does Mrs. Smith feel about that? Was she happy to change her name to Smith?
Well, sometimes I wonder. She often wonders why she changed a good name like Caldwell for a very odd name like Smith.
Oh. How long have you been married?
8 years.
Well, where and how did you meet?
Well, we approximately about 14 years of age and on the tennis court.
Oh, and it's been a love set ever since?
Well, we've had one or two volleys, but we've always had a good rally after.
Very good one. How long since you've seen her, Andy?
Oh, much too long one for me.
Well, I'll bet. Do you have any children?
I've got a little boy. I've never seen him before, you know. How's that for a first attempt?
Oh, that picture. Oh, that's wonderful. Andy, well, look, he has four teeth.
Sure.
How old is he?
17 months.
Oh, big blue eyes. Mrs. Smith has, what is it, reddish hair?
You're telling me, reddish hair.
And blue eyes. Oh, she's very charming. Andy, tonight we're going to try something new on Vox Pop. We brought Mrs. Smith down from Scotland to London, and she's on the other end of this phone. You can talk to her, and we'll be able to hear both of you, as we have a two-way trans-ocean hookup. And the famous Bob Trout is there also, and he's going to talk with Mrs. Smith after you finish. But, Andy, I guess you'd sort of like to start talking for yourself, wouldn't
boy,
you?
Boy, oh, boy, let me get out of here. Let me hear a breath of old Scotland.
All right. Come in, London.
Hello, Nan. Are you there?
Yes, Andrew. I'm in London. Where are you?
Where am I? That's a fine question for a chief mechanician's wife to ask in wartime.
Well, it's a good question for a sailor's wife to ask any time, isn't it?
Well, be that as it may, it's sure wonderful to hear your voice again. It's been over 2 years, hasn't it?
2 long years, Andrew. But I recognized your voice right away. How are you feeling?
Well, I was in hospital right after Christmas. Stomach trouble, you know. But I'm fit as a fiddle now. I've put on about 14 pounds since I saw you. I don't think you'll know me when I get home.
I will, but your son won't. You haven't been home since he was born, you know. Did you get the pictures I sent you?
Sure I did. I have over 30 of them, and he's smiling on every one of them. I have nicknamed Drew the Smiling Cavalier.
Well, that's just like you. He's walking and talking now, you know.
No, is he? Does he cuddle his toes like I do?
Yes, he does, Andrew.
Well, what do you know about that, Andy? He curls his toes like you do. Look, may I take over here for a minute? Mrs. Smith, are you taking care, very good care? Is Drew taking very good care of that American teddy bear that Andy sent him? You know, Buddy?
Oh, yes. Drew just loves Buddy.
Joe, I sure like to see that boy.
You would be proud of him. He's just like his daddy.
Give him my love and tell him to be a good little sailor while his daddy is away.
He is, darling.
Take good care of him, won't you, Nan?
Of course. By the way, I wrote to you to see if you could find me some rubber knickers for him in America. I can't get them here. Did you send them?
No, you can't get them here in America either.
How do you like America, Andrew? Are the people nice to you?
They're very wonderful to us, Nan. They all go out of their way to make us feel very much at home. And when it's all over, though, I'll be real glad to be back in Motherwell again. There's no place like home, you know.
When are you coming home, Andrew?
Well, that's in the lap of the gods, Nan. Naturally, we're all hoping we'll be pretty soon. Me, I'd like to hit Glasgow and Motherwell round about Easter time for the egg rolling.
You'll have to bring the eggs with you if you do, you know.
Yes, I know they're very scarce in Scotland these days. You know what else I'd like?
What's that?
Oh, some of the sausages and beef ham Father had in the shop. I don't know what he puts in the sausages now, though, with the meat ricing you have. Maybe he blows them up with a bicycle pump, eh?
I'll ask him. Tell me, Andrew, are you getting plenty to eat?
Sure, Nan. Didn't I tell you I'd gained about 14 pounds? I can't send you as many boxes of goodies as I have been, especially along the street line, because things are getting a bit scarce here in America, too. You see, they're sending everything they can to all the United Nations now.
It's a good thing you are cutting down on the street. 14 pounds is an awful lot. And remember your finicky stomach.
Oh, I'll get Brother Oliver to take care of that. He's specializing in stomach troubles in medical school, doesn't he?
He did, you mean. He's just graduated.
That's grand. Now you can take care of both of us, and it won't cost us very much either. By the way, I just got your letter saying you'd had a touch of the flu. You're all better now, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I'm fine.
And you said Drew had manfully received his sub-injection against diphtheria. Is he all right, too?
Didn't I tell you he's a brave little sailor?
Yes, you did. Well, we mustn't talk all night now. I'll see you soon, I hope, Nan.
God bless you, Andrew. Goodbye.
God bless you, darling, and our wee boy.
That was a wonderful opportunity to talk to my husband, Mr. Throd. I want to thank you.
Oh, don't thank me. Thank Box Pop. But I'll tell you something. Now that the phone call's finished, you know, whatever you say now, your husband can still hear you, but he won't be able to talk back.
Well, that would only be fair after all. Andrew did the same thing to me not long ago.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, my husband made a gramophone record and sent it over to us.
Oh, well, who's that?
Drew and I. I wish I could have brought baby down to London to speak to his daddy tonight.
Yes, why didn't you bring him down?
Oh, lots of reasons. It's a long journey for a baby, especially in wartime, and too late for a baby to be up. But he's in good hands because his gran and grandpa are taking care of him for me. That's better than bringing him to London and perhaps risking an ear raid.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot we heard the sirens last night. That was a fine welcome for London to give you, Mrs. Smith.
Well, it was interesting, you know, and to tell you the truth, I think I enjoyed the excitement. But that's no good for a baby.
No. But say, didn't you even bring a message from little Drew for his father?
A message? Mr. Trout, you don't know much about babies. Drew is only 16 months old. His vocabulary consists of chiefly two words.
Well, which two words?
Mommy and Daddy.
Well, I know, but he's never seen his daddy.
No, but don't forget that gramophone record. Every time I play it, little Drew listens intently to the very end, and then he says, Daddy.
Well, Mrs. Smith, we were glad to have you here in London to talk to your husband tonight, and now Box Pop and Bromo Seltzer would like to give you a little gift. And in Britain, where supplies are short, a gift means cash. Perhaps you can buy something for little Drew.
Thank you very much. I can buy something for the baby. No, this is Wings for Victory Week in Britain, and we're all trying to buy as many war saving certificates as we can this week.
Yes?
I can buy a number of war saving certificates with this gift, and I'll put them all in little Drew's name. Thank you.
Thank you. And now back to Vox Pop in America.
Yes, we're back in America, and folks, you remember when Warren took over and the chief wasn't talking? Well, I think your eyes would have filled, too. Sort of like a visit at home, wasn't it, Chief?
Well, I was just a little bit touched.
Of course you were. And, Chief, we want you, Bromo Seltzer, want you to have two or three things yourself. First of all, we have a brand new Chief Petty Officer's dress uniform. Then we've got a leather... genuine leather toilet kit, all filled with the proper fittings, and for you to take home to your wee small son, Drew, this warm, blue, all-wool snowsuit. See, and thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Okay. And now, Chief, Bromo Seltzer would like to make a gift to all the officers and men of your ship, something that will be enjoyed, we hope, by all of you. So take this catalog of Victor Records. I believe you call them his master's voice in England. And now then, you select 400 Victor Records. Send us a list of what you want, and we'll rush those 400 Victor Records right down to you. Do you think the men will like that? How about it, men? Okay, Warren.
Well, speaking of things like that, folks, you know, there's one thing we can all do for our men in the service, and that's to write letters regularly and often.
Yes, and if your fighting man is overseas, by all means, use V-mail. It's the quickest, the safest, and it's what our Army and Navy use. So remember, if he's overseas, write him by V-mail.
And speaking of letters, you know, Parks and I like to get V-mail.
B is in Bromo Seltzer.
Exactly. And right now, we want to thank Mrs. William Lang of Buffalo, New York, for writing to say that in her opinion, there's nothing better for a common sick headache than Bromo Seltzer.
That opinion must be shared by Mr. Lang, too, for his wife says that beside having Bromo Seltzer in their home, her husband always carries a small bottle with him. He works for a large steel company, looking after the great engines that keep things turning. As Mrs. Lang puts it, it's hard work, and sometimes he gets a headache, but he always knows he has a Bromo Seltzer right there to help him. Thanks for your wonderful product, and best wishes for your success in the good work that you're doing on Vox Pop.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Lang. Thanks a million.
And friends, it's your purchases of Bromo Seltzer, you know, that make it possible for Vox Pop to travel America.
So you can believe me when I say that Warren and I sincerely appreciate your support and that we are mighty certain the men and women who that we visit in the armed services and in the war plants do also.
Thanks, Park. Now, folks, we want you to know this fine-looking young English sailor who's been with the Royal Navy for 2.5 years. He's seen the same action as the rest of these men. He's 26 years of age, stoker first class Thomas Jenkins of Manchester, England. Step right up here, Tom. Tom, what were you doing before the war?
I was in a show, touring around the country.
What kind of show?
A review.
A musical show?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. Well, I've been known to do a little... Were you an actor or a dancer? What did you do?
Well, I was anything from stage end to the back end of camel.
The back end of a camel. Well, where did you play with the show?
Well, I toured all England and then went across the continent to Germany and Belgium.
Whoa, when was that?
1938.
Well, how was it?
1937 into 1938.
I see. How was it in Germany? Did you like it there?
I did. I liked it very well myself. There's no war then.
Oh, you liked it all but for the Nazis, huh?
Well, I was a bit against that. And, In fact, I was strongly against it.
Well, we'll do a bit of de-lousing after this war. Something like that. Could you tell us what a show does when it's playing in foreign countries? Do you sing the songs and do the skits in English?
Oh, in this show, it was in 7 different languages.
Seven different languages. Well, yeah. Did you have to do that?
Oh, the back end of the camera. Same to everybody.
I see. the boys tell us, Tom, that you have a girl you haven't seen for 2 years. Does she still love you after all that time?
I think so. In fact, I'm certain of it. I got a letter 2 days ago on the top corner of the little wire ring, and it said, "This is the right size, darling, so don't forget."
Ah. Well, and you're sort of fond of her around the edges, are you?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, for that girl, Vox Pop and Gromel Seltzer want you to have a dresser set with comb, brush, and mirror, and a manicure set to match. And since she wants you so much that she has sent you the size of the ring, she practically proposed to you, we fixed it so you can make good right back at her. Here. Folks, it's a solid gold diamond solitaire engagement ring with our best wishes for all the happiness in the world because you've earned it, Tom. And now, for all the men on your ship, you know, we know sailors like peanuts, so we got a few. We got several hundred bags of delicious Planters salted peanuts. You think that's enough?
Do I think that's enough?
Oh, wait a minute. In case it isn't enough, we have two more bags, too. Two more, bring them out, boys. Two more bags of 50 pounds each.
How about it, Warren?
Thank you very much, Thomas Jenkins.
All right, good luck to you.
Gotta go, Warren. And thanks to Clifford Dutton, our standby interview. Well, folks, the calm but deadly determination to beat the Axis expressed by the British sailors tonight, is it any wonder that they have been able to carry on under such extreme hardships for nearly 4 years?
No, it isn't, because they're a great bunch of men. And we're grateful for having had the opportunity to know and understand our British friends even better than ever.
Yes, sir, folks. Next Monday, Vox Pop will have the honor of being the first to broadcast from inside an Army or Navy hospital.
Yes, we'll talk with men who have been back from all the fighting fronts and who are getting ready to go out again and take another crack at the enemy.
At the Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
This broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our products by the Royal Navy, as they do not endorse any product.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when Parks and Warren visit the Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C. Meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headaches 3 ways with Bromo Seltzer. You get it?
Fight headaches 3 ways. Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.